He's back. He's here. It's the Food Mensch, Arthur Schwartz, on Robin Hood Radio. I'm shortening the intro only because your adoring listeners would rather hear what you have to say. And people still need to know how to defrost a turkey, I think.
Well, this, you know.
The
problem with frozen turkey is mainly finding room in the refrigerator to defrost it. I mean,
so
I don't,
just,
a 50, even a 12, or 50, you can't get a turkey less than 12 pounds. Usually they're more like 15 pounds, a big turkey is a 20 or more. But that's enough. I mean, if you're cooking a 20-pound turkey, you really need a lot of space. You should not defrost a turkey at room temperature, because by the time it's defrosted, part of it will be at the temperature optimum for bacteria growth. So you don't want to do that. Yes, you're going to tell me you've done it in the past and nobody died, and lucky you.
I'm sorry.
And nobody got sick. I don't think you'll die, but nobody got sick. Anyway, you need a day, believe it or not, you need a full 24 hours in the refrigerator to defrost per 4 or 5 pounds to defrost a turkey. So if you have a 15-pound turkey, you're going to need to put it in the refrigerator as opposed to the freezer, or from the supermarket, put it in the refrigerator for at least 3 days before it's defrosted. 4 days would even be better. So and not to worry, once it is defrosted and you keep it refrigerated, it still will hold up very nicely for at least another day. So let's say you have a 20-pound turkey. I would put it in at least 4 days ahead, if not 5. And that's how you defrost a turkey. There is a cold water method where you submerge the turkey in cold water, but you have to keep changing the water every half hour or so. Because, of course, this is like an enormous ice cube, the frozen turkey. And even if you fill a big bucket with water or your sink with water, it's still going to be whatever. Not a good way of doing it, let's say that. So that's it. We have a turkey. Now, do you have a turkey? We have a big dilemma over here in Brooklyn. We're celebrating Thanksgiving with our friends/neighbors. And nobody really wants to eat turkey. It has been suggested that we order in Chinese. But, you know, I need something special on Thanksgiving, and Chinese is no longer special. It's sort of one of my regular foods to order in Chinese. Even though I will never forget the Thanksgiving after my cousin Marion's wedding. I don't know, we're talking over 40 years ago. And we had no time to prepare Thanksgiving dinner. It was the night before Thanksgiving, by the way, because that was an inexpensive night to have a wedding. And my uncle didn't approve of this marriage, so he made the wedding on a Wednesday. Anyway, with my father, I went to Chinatown on Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, and we went around to our favorite restaurants and got our favorite dishes to go, including some roast ducks in our nod to having a roast bird for Thanksgiving. And I must say, as you can hear, one of my most memorable Thanksgivings. The turkey is not so much important this year. I did find some great turkey that we could buy, so I don't have to roast a turkey. But nobody seems to be interested, so I don't know what we're going to do exactly. We might revert to, you're going to laugh, or maybe you won't have, spaghetti alla carbonara. Because, why that one? In 1981, Calvin Trillin, the humorist, wrote a column in The New Yorker suggesting that we change the national Thanksgiving dish from turkey to spaghetti carbonara. I did it one year. I don't remember what year. It was fairly recent. Then I said, all right, we're just going to have spaghetti carbonara. So, I mean, to me, I want to have something that's a treat on Thanksgiving. And I suppose turkey, as I've been saying for 40 years, turkey is diet food, and it's not so much a treat anymore. Not to say you can't get some great turkey. I can. One can. But anyway, I want it to be a treat. I don't want it to be the Chinese food that I eat all the time. So, and I did make spaghetti carbonara recently. I bought a new product that I saw in the supermarket. It was, it's guanciale. Guanciale is the cheek of the hog. Very gelatinous, very fatty, used more or less as you would use pancetta, which is the bacon, a different part of the body, but similarly cured. And they, in my supermarket, they have imported guanciale, already diced in a package. It was, it was sort of expensive, but I didn't care. It saved me the trouble of dicing. And I used it this week to make some carbonara, and it was a terrific product. I went back to the supermarket to buy it again, and they didn't have it. I have to keep an eye out for it, because it does last in the refrigerator in this vacuum package for, at least a couple months. I think the last date of use on mine that I used the other day, and it's been sitting there for at least a month, is sometime in December. So it does hold up if you see it. It's around. There's guanciale is around. And properly, carbonara should be made with guanciale. In the old days, I would make it with American bacon because that was all you could get. Then I graduated to pancetta, which I still love, either in little batons or diced. But the real deal is guanciale, is the fat from the jowls, hog jowls, we call them. So just quickly, my recipe is 2 eggs beaten with 1/2 cup of grated cheese. Now, I use Parmigiano, but the real cheese would be pecorino. And if pecorino is too salty and sharp for you, try 1/2 and 1/2. Or grana padana is just fine. So 1/2 cup of grated cheese, 2 eggs, a lot of freshly ground pepper, and that's pretty much it. And then on the side, you render out 3.5 ounces, because that's what comes in the package, which is 100 grams, of guanciale or pancetta, put it over low heat, and when it starts to render out some fat, you can increase the heat a little bit, and cook it until either the pancetta or the guanciale, until they're browned and crisp, and then remove the crisp pieces, and you're left with some delicious fat. And after you cooked 1/2 pound of spaghetti, this is all for 1/2 pound of spaghetti, 1/2 pound of spaghetti, toss it in the hot oil. If the oil is not hot, heat it, meaning, if you can do the pancetta or guanciale ahead of time, and then at the last minute you heat up the fat, and you toss the spaghetti in the fat, and then you toss the fat spaghetti in your bowl with the beaten egg and cheese and freshly ground pepper. Now, you may want to put this back in the skillet and let it heat for very few seconds over low heat to thicken it up a bit, but you may not need to do that. It depends. And if it's a little too thick, you can always put a spoonful or two of pasta cooking water in. That's it. That's the real carbonara. No cream, no prosciutto. I see all these crazy different things called carbonara, but it's just guanciale or pancetta, egg, cheese, and lots of freshly ground pepper. Anyway, that could be our Thanksgiving dinner. On the other hand, I only get to eat mashed potatoes a couple times a year, and I do love mashed potatoes. I have to say, one of the great things on the ship that I was on, the Crystal Serenity, is they always had great mashed potatoes one way or another. In the buffet, on the dinner menu, if you just wanted them, you could get them, even if they weren't seen anywhere else. I didn't indulge all the time because there were other things to indulge in, but that is an indulgence for me, especially mashed potatoes made with lots of butter. And the other thing that I want on Thanksgiving is stuffing, or if you want to call it dressing. I don't stuff it into anything. I bake it in a casserole, so I guess that's dressing. But I buy a big bag of croutons from Bread Alone, which is a very good bakery, very well distributed. You probably can get it too. And at this time of the year, they sell a dried out bread. They're good bread, mixed croutons. And it's a big bag. And for that, I would saute a lot of onions and celery. When I say a lot, I mean for a bag of croutons, meaning let's say it's about 8 cups of croutons, 10 cups of croutons, I would have at least a pound of onions, 3 medium onions, diced and sautéed in butter. And, of course, some celery and a nice amount of celery. If you're doing 3 cups of onions, you want to do 2 cups of celery, cut and diced also. And I make sage stuffing, so at least 4 or 5 leaves of sage, tear them up or chop them up and put them in with the onions and celery, because the flavor of the sage will be spread around by the butter. Now, here's a little dilemma. If you're feeding vegans or vegetarian, well, it's vegans, you're going to have to use oil instead of butter. And for me, the holiday is all about butter. It's the secret of life, butter. So I would put an enormous amount of butter, celery, onion, sage, salt and pepper, and that's it. Toss your croutons with that. You can make your own croutons, of course. And then you're going to need to moisten it, because unless you put it in the bird, even if you do put it in the bird, you're going to need moistening. So if you have some broth, that would be great. If you are making a turkey, you will have broth. You can make some good turkey broth. And I would say for a 9 by 13 inch baking dish, you're going to need a minimum of a cup of liquid of broth. Maybe even more, because I don't like a dry stuffing. It depends on what you like. And then you either cover it or not cover it. You can cover it with foil and put it in the oven. And it needs about a half an hour or so in a 350, 400-degree oven. It's one of those items that you can put in the oven at a temperature that you need for other dishes. So, you know, if you do 350 for other things that you need to stick in the oven, then 350 it is. Otherwise, I would do 400. So those are the two items, mashed potatoes and stuffing. Now, the question is, what do you eat with it? Well, of course, you have to have some cranberry sauce. But if you don't love turkey, I guess you could have roast beef. I think there are families that have like a prime rib for Thanksgiving instead of a turkey. And I know there are families that have a ham instead of a turkey. I don't think I want braised meat on Thanksgiving. However, I did one year, because I'm not a big turkey lover, I did one year braise turkey thighs. I just bought thighs, and I braised them with rosemary and garlic, and I browned them on top of the stove and then put them in the oven with rosemary and garlic. You don't even really have to put them in the brown them on top of the stove. You could just put them in a high oven, let them brown a little bit, and then add your liquids and cover it. The turkey thighs are not tender meat. You need to make it tender by braising it. So I suggested this, by the way, to our friends, and they said, we like white meat turkey if we're going to eat turkey at all. So it's still a dilemma. The vegetable is not a dilemma. We have all decided that we're going to eat a roasted Brussels sprouts. Have you noticed how Brussels sprouts have become a very popular vegetable when they used to be, Brussels sprouts?
Yes, it seems that they've been discovered, rediscovered.
Yeah, well, they are a strong-tasting vegetable, not to everybody's taste, I suppose. But I do think it's interesting that, especially in these little trendy kind of restaurants, they're serving some kind of Brussels sprouts, heavily, heavily seasoned with usually Asian seasonings, but not necessarily. It is from there that I did learn that Brussels sprouts roast extremely well. I cut them mine in half. I toss them with some olive oil, put them flat side down on a baking sheet, could be lined with aluminum foil for cleaning purposes, and then 400 or even 450 degrees until some of them look a little charred, and that's it. That's all. And salt. Did I mention salt? When you toss them with oil, you also want to toss them with salt. You can roast them whole. They'll take a little longer. And then, I don't know, people do sauté them with, like, Thai fish sauce and soy sauce and a little brown sugar, like that. That really, it could be cardboard underneath. But, no, the Brussels sprouts hold up well to these seasonings because they are strongly flavored. What else? Oh, the string beans. So I did buy, because my supermarket is already ready for Thanksgiving, and they had the best-looking string beans I've seen in a long, long time. I don't know why. I call them string beans. These days they're called green beans because most of them, not all of them, but most of them don't have strings. In the day, as we say, you had to actually pull back the string that lined the edge, otherwise it was too fibrous. But nowadays, they've hybridized them to a point where there is no string, for the most part. So they're green beans. Now, of course, the famous green bean casserole is made by, I'm sure, millions of families at Thanksgiving. And, you know, that was invented by Campbell Soup Company. And the original recipe was introduced in 1955, which is, of course, why I knew something about it. Not a lot. My mother didn't make such things that, you know, that called for a can of this or a can of that. But I certainly knew all about it, and my friends always raved about it. And I had a laugh the other day. I saw a recipe for it, made from scratch, supposedly. But they said there was no way you could reproduce from scratch the flavor of the canned onions. You know those fried French's onion rings in a can? Well, anyway, I bought some recently because I had nostalgia for them. But, you know, that so the casserole, the original recipe was a can of cream of mushroom soup with, I guess they were canned string beans, maybe frozen string beans, not fresh string beans, and these onion rings on top. And I'll never forget my niece, who's been married like almost 20 years now, called me at the beginning and said, "Oh, my Max," that's her husband, "Max wants me to make a string bean casserole, and I don't know what he's talking about." So we went through it, and she went, "Ooh, ooh," a lot. And then she decided to make her own. And, yeah, it's not a little thing to do. You got to make a white sauce with mushrooms, if you want the mushroom flavor, which we do. So saute some mushrooms with shallot, add flour, make your little roux, add milk, a little cream perhaps, and make this nice, rather thick white sauce with mushrooms. And then you can add your cooked string beans and scatter the French's canned onion rings on the top. That's pretty much it. And, you know, it is delicious. It's even more delicious if you make it. Oh, by the way, I would throw in there some grated Parmigiano into the sauce to give that a little extra oomph. Salt and pepper, of course. Nutmeg. I'm really into nutmeg lately. And nutmeg belongs in anything with mushrooms, I feel. So certainly if you make a... And by the way, instead of milk, you could use broth. And with broth, we're running into the vegetarian-vegan problem. A lot of people are asking me, I mean, people I know, like, "I have a vegan coming. What do I do?" I said, you give her a lot of vegetables. You can make your stuffing with something other than butter. It's all vegan. You can make your string bean casserole.
This is not going to help with your dilemma, you know.
Pardon me?
This is not going to help with your dilemma.
My dilemma? What's my dilemma?
Yeah. I mean, carbonara does sound good, except that...
Yeah, doesn't it?
except now you're talking about stuffing and stuffing... You know.
I know, but this is what I'm craving. Because I don't eat stuffing very often, and I do love it. I mean, I'll tell you, another alternative is Bob and I went out to lunch yesterday in the neighborhood and discovered this very simple place. I would call it a sort of a, almost a coffee shop, but a little more than a coffee shop. Anyway, good burgers and good other things. I wouldn't think of going there for Thanksgiving, but they have a whole Thanksgiving deal with all the foods that I crave. I don't have to eat the turkey, which who knows how that's going to be. But it was only $30 a person. Now, in this market, in these days, that's a very inexpensive Thanksgiving dinner. Although, if you, according to the what I read, you can, they say, feed 6 to 8 people for less than $60 if you cook everything yourself. Maybe we should just have mashed potatoes
have your Chinese
and
food or
stuff.
Your pasta.
Pardon me?
My theory is have carbonara. If you can get for $30 or less a proper Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm going back about, let's just say, 40 years or so, trying to find turkey and stuffing on the Friday after Thanksgiving was impossible. But I bet that you could get a, quote, Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, now it is so possible that it allows you to have your either carbonara or, you know,
well,
Chinese.
Let me say that the nice restaurants in my area are a minimum of $100 a person for Thanksgiving, and some of them are already booked. And in my long experience, I would say Thanksgiving, along with Mother's Day, is the worst day to eat out. I don't like to be out because everybody is under stress. It's all, anyway, a lot of reasons not to go out on Thanksgiving, a lot of reasons. So I think we're going to stay in, and we're not going to go out. But I don't know if we're going to have carbonara or we're going to have some traditional Thanksgiving side dishes with an unknown, at the moment, protein. I do need to have some protein if I'm eating all those carbs. Mashed potatoes, bread stuffing, cranberry sauce. This is like really high carb. So I'm conscious of these things. So that's it. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving, eating whatever you like to eat.
Right, and are you going to give us a verdict? Yes, you'll give us a
well,
verdict.
Well, yeah, after the fact, I can tell you what we did.
So you'll have a decision.
Past tense, yeah. I mean, it's not my sole decision. I have to say, the other members of this little dinner party all want Chinese food. So I may lose on all. I may, you know, and if we do eat Chinese food, which we can order in, I'm going to get a duck. I have to have some kind of a bird on the table.
We're going to have a verdict prior to the actual.
Yeah, you're
going to
have a verdict. So my question to you is, because my memory is gone, what's the name of the smokehouse in
No Dines?
No, not No Dines. Is it No Dines that does the smoked turkey?
Well, No Dines was, and then there was a place in Texas that everyone was getting them from.
No, Tarrytown. This is in, I don't mean Tarrytown. I mean, it must be No Dines. So we used to order a smoked turkey. When I didn't want to make a turkey, I ordered a smoked turkey from No Dines. It makes a gorgeous centerpiece. It's a beautiful-looking thing. And even if we don't eat that much of it on Thanksgiving, it's great for the sandwiches the next day. I look forward to turkey sandwiches more than I do to the turkey itself. Or turkey hash is a good thing to make, too. So, anyway, I guess we're going to talk again before Thanksgiving. maybe I'll get some mail at Robin Hood Radio that'll tell me what you got. Especially if you're cooking for vegans and vegetarians, I'm curious what you're going to make. No, don't tell me tofu turkey. I'm not eating that.
I understand. Okay. You've asked for a very specific thing. Come on, people.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving. And love to Bob. And I, again,
and, right.
This is
Take
a
care,
teaser.
Everyone.
Thank you very much.
Don't eat too much.
Well, it's too soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.